This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 2177. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded February 9th, Afghanistan, Andorra, Antarctica, Bouvet Island, Canada, China, Congo, Cuba, France, Germany, Korea South, Madagascar, Netherlands, Newfoundland, New Zealand, Norfolk Island, North America, Norway, Russia, Spain, Sweden, Turkey, UK, USA, Vanuatu, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer. A week later, we're still not certain about where the reactivated U.S. broadcasts for Afghanistan are coming from on medium wave 1296 kilohertz. That is Radio Azadi. The original press release from RFERL sort of implied that the Taliban had agreed to let it resume from Afghanistan, the previous Pole Charki site, with certain restrictions about other broadcasts. And Michel Frémy at Radio Du Monde took this to be certain in his first post about it on Facebook. There was considerable discussion after that, however, about whether it was really from outside Afghanistan, since it's at nighttime only, 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. local, which would imply it's relying on skywave rather than groundwave. The obvious choice for a site outside would be Orzu or Dushanbe, Tajikistan, where the U.S. already has a broadcast on 972 kilohertz. So then, Radio Du Monde issued a revised version saying that's where it's from. But we're still not certain, as Kai Ludwig points out. Since 1994, there's been a rule preventing RFERL and VOA from broadcasting at the same time in the same language, which would have been the case if this is the current situation. The MW list reference for 1296 says it's parallel to 972. However, there's no listing under 972 itself. Kai Ludwig says, has this 1296 transmission already been confirmed by actual monitoring? The Kiwis I just tried yield only noise. Kai says it was possible to confirm from Delhi that 972 carries the same program as shortwave 9975 and 12075, as well as the live stream of VOA Pashto. So, what they call it, Radio Ashna, has not been canceled. And at the same time, Azadi Radio's stream does have separate programming. Previously, for Afghanistan, there was a single program stream run by VOA from 1430 to 0230 UT, and RFERL for the other 12 hours of the day. Now, he says it's probably still VOA at 1430 to 0230, but RFERL around the clock. A considerable policy shift. I point out that if only a few monitors in the area would tune in 1296 at night and get a directional fix on it, it would be easy to triangulate the true location. And here yet another point to consider. If it's not from Afghanistan, but on the same frequency previously from there, 1296 kilohertz, it would be easy for the Taliban to turn that transmitter on and jam our broadcasts. My apology that last week I somehow uttered the wrong date for the monthly Andorra broadcast special, as February 25th instead of February 5th, as usually or always on the first Sunday of the month. There were some more special broadcasts outside the usual schedule from LRA 36 Antarctica this past week on 15475.98 reduced carrier USB. Our thanks to Horacio Negro in Uruguay for getting the word on to us at least a few hours in advance. There was one Friday, February 3rd, scheduled for 20 UT, and it was still going past 21:23. I can only hear it via remotes in Argentina or Brazil, as is the case for most of us. But while Salmaniv, with his super setup on Haida Gwaii Island, BC, says he has been able to pull it in, at least barely, on that occasion. Been running well less than 1 kilowatt, but it seems they were flying in a temporary replacement transmitter, which would run at least 1 kilowatt, so they can get an even more powerful one on the air next summer. And it was on the air again at the expected time, Saturday, February 4th, starting at 15:11, says Dan Robinson. And I also heard most of that broadcast. They kept talking about the Malvinas Islands, somehow relating the Falklands War of over 40 years ago to the current Argentine presence in Antarctica. And on that occasion, Saturday the 4th, they did not dump off the air in less than an hour, but kept going. Even once they were finished, they were filling with rock music until a repeat, scheduled for 1900, and then it was delayed to start at 2000. And we were also hearing them then. Old Salmoniv was hearing it direct in BC until they finally pulled the plug at 22:42:28. Yet another special was on the air Tuesday, February 7th, starting at 2000, but already on the air with music, as is often the case, by 1945, when I tuned in. And this was still going past 21:36, but was not heard on Wednesday the 8th at 1500, which was originally their prime broadcast time. Not coincidentally, there's been some ham radio activity from Esperanza Base, call sign LU1ZV. Andy Robinson, Michigan, was hearing that on 14282 at 2335, February 3rd. And another frequency for LU1ZV was 7147 LSV. Walt Salmoniv was hearing that well in BC at 0335, February 6th. There's a major de-expedition by hams to Bouvet Island in the South Atlantic, or is it the Indian Ocean? It's somewhere around the boundary, if there were one, south of South Africa. The call sign there is 3Y0J. There have been pileups, and of course you can find information about their current activity at various DX cluster sites. 21225 was one frequency, February 8th at 1635, which I could hear only via remotes. Some somewhat alarming news from Canada, a Globe and Mail story saying something about CBC digital streaming. Doug Brown in London, Ontario comments, after they scrapped RCI and flipped Radio 2 to an all GarageBand format, nothing CBC says or does shocks me anymore. Now there's this. The CBC president states that in an effort to remain relevant, CBC will be moving toward ending over-the-air broadcasting of radio and TV. Doug says Canada is a vast and thinly populated country. High-speed internet and cellular service are unavailable in much of the country. How can abandoning the audience in those parts of the country possibly make the network more relevant? Seemingly in reply to this, but probably not, from the CBC.ca news website itself, Catherine Tate, president and CEO of CBC, says it will not abandon TV and radio audiences as it charts digital path over next decades. There's a lot more to this story and the politics behind it. Richard Langley sends another story from CBC itself. A conservative MP is renewing calls for the federal government to ban authoritarian state broadcasters, including the China Global Television Network. It seems that CRTC has already banned Russian state-controlled TV channels Russia Today and English and French from Canadian airwaves. Takahito Akabayashi in Tokyo reports on the sudden reduction of Voice of the Strait and China Wayi Broadcasting Corporation. By the way, that's spelled STRAIT. On January 23rd, both stations suddenly reduced their broadcasting without any previous notice. Both had been on the air for 18 hours a day, 22 until 16 UT, reduced to 0355 until 1500. Straight ahead, two nearby frequencies, 4940, which has been stopped, and 4900 is still on the air at 1140 until 1301, as also confirmed by Ron Howard. Wolfgang Duschel in Germany has carried out another extensive monitoring project, February 5th to 8th, of the frequencies in use and or jammed. Sound of Hope and CNR1 are Firedrake jamming. That is between 6 and 22 megahertz. Looking at the listing, Rob Wagner in Victoria says, do you think there is less CNR jamming of SOH stations now than there was a few years ago? It seems to me that SOH can be heard on more frequencies without any jamming. Is this correct? Perhaps China is losing interest in jamming Sound of Hope. Wolfgang Dussel replies, yes, that's correct, dear Rob. I totally agree with you. Maybe results from the coronavirus matter. Also, activity against U.S., Uyghur, and Tibetan broadcasts is less strong these days. And China mainland digital scratching like DRM mode audio tone blocking, broadband 20 kHz wide jamming against BBC World Service and English channels on shortwave is decreased now also. What's the frequency, Glenneth? Last week another error by yours truly was omitting the frequency for Radio Congo. It's 6115. And here's another report of it from Walt Samaniv, NBC, February 5th at 0601 with fair reception. He says, I need to confirm the power. It's supposedly 50 kilowatts, but Manuel Menith in Spain says it sounds like it's no more than 5. Something's always wrong at Radio Havana Cuba, for example, leaving higher frequency transmitters on the air late into the night. 11760, February 7th. At 0722 was still on with dead air. And 11670 was on at the same time with good modulation in Spanish, but nothing to be heard in the 5, 6, or 10 megahertz bands. Reception from Europe is often now holding up late into the night as high as 12 megahertz into deep North America. February 8th at 0753, I was hearing RFI in the Fulani language direct from France, but way off frequency. 11875.083 variable. Via Ralph Bender, Atlantic 2000 will be on the air Saturday, 11 February, from 09 to 10 UT via channel 292 in Germany, 6070 and 9670, and also streaming at radioatlantic2000.free.fr. Upon Asilo Mar State Beach, California, Ron Howard notes that Echo of Hope, or VOH, from South to North Korea, has not changed frequencies since after January 12th. As of February 3rd, they were still on the same set, checked at 1330 UT. 3985, 4885, 5995, 6250, 6350, and 9100 kHz. So, perhaps, like their sister station, it will remain unchanged all the time, that is, Voice of the People, which is also keeping their long-standing unchanged frequencies, namely 3480, 3910, 3930, 4450, 6520, 6600, and their newest frequency starts much later than the others, 4560. Then on February 4th, Ron points out that Echo of Hope has a weekend-only reading of a portion of Chapter 10 from Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone in English, along with lengthy explanations in Korean. This was February 4th from 0723 to 755 and repeated in a 4-hour loop at 1123. Here's another Radio France International transmission way off frequency, but this time via the Talata Madagascar relay. Rob Wagner in Victoria reports to the NASFA flash sheet 11760.41. January 29th, signing on at 0530, RFI in Swahili to East Africa. But Radio Havana Cuba was still on 11760 exactly, creating a bad heterodyne. At least, despite all its other problems, Cuba is usually very accurate in its fundamental frequencies. RFI went off at 06, but Cuba continued in English past 0640. Walt Samaniv in BC says February 5th was a very impressive night for reception of low-power stations from the Netherlands on 49 meters. 6020 at 0605. Radio Delta International. And since he was hearing that well, he checks for others and found 6130 at 0648, Radio Europe. That is with pop music, the same as being heard via the remote in Holland. And a new frequency of Mike Radio in Herde in the Netherlands, registered in HFCC, says Ivo Ivanov for possible 24-hour use, 5875, replacing 5870 with 1 kilowatt in Dutch on Saturdays and Sundays. Via satellite, shortwave, FM, AM, and Internet, World of Radio 2177. A non-commercial service, like our website, worldofradio.com. Financial support is very much appreciated, especially a generous contribution from an annual anonymous donor who says, thanks again for your historic radio show. That was via PayPal and U.S. funds, but not necessarily, to WORADIO at yahoo.com. One may also contribute by money order or check on a U.S. bank to Glenn Hauser, P.O. Box 1684, ENID, OK, 73702. Last week we mentioned a ham beacon on the 630-meter band from VO1NA in Newfoundland on 477.7 kHz, as heard by medium wave circle members using a remote in the UK. But some slightly different frequencies have also been reported. I'm not sure if some of these are typographical errors or they're actually different ones in use. 474.7 or 477.7. And Daryl Hennig in Manitoba says my frequency was 477.65. Ricky Leong in Alberta reports a new frequency for Radio New Zealand Pacific, 11725, February 9th at 12:55. He and I see that it is also listed on 13755 now on RNZI's website schedule. Two frequencies at once, both in AM. That's unusual. I discovered this February 8th at 0815 when 11725 was on in Pigeon, and parallel just as strong on 13755. The website schedule explains it this way somewhat confusingly. And I'll round off the times, 06 to 13 on both, from 8 February to the Pacific on Monday through Sunday, and at 09 to 13, both frequencies, from 8 February to Northwest Pacific, Vanuatu, Solomon Islands, and PNG, Monday through Friday. So does that mean that one of the frequencies switches to the North-Northwest antenna at 09, but not on weekends? If so, which one? They are not specified as AM, like many others in the schedule. At various other times when there are two frequencies, one of them is DRM. By the way, when I tuned in, they were in some Pigeon, and when Ricky was listening, he could not understand the English. Stephen Lewis forwards a story February 8th from onenews.co.nz that the merger between TVNZ and RNZ has been scrapped amid an election year refocus. We're not sure how this will affect RNZ Pacific. The story says this may be due to a refocus of government policy with a new prime minister. I see a story on the RNZ website February 9th that Cyclone Gabrielle is intensifying as it heads toward Norfolk Island. It's also threatening other Pacific islands. Let's hope that Nikachko and Radio DX are not affected on 5045. We have not heard him testing since last month. Walt Salmaniv in BC was hearing a pirate in Spanish on 6960 AM, February 5th at 0230. Also heard by others, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin says it's zanahorias en escabeche, which means pickled carrots. Does that sound familiar? Yes, it was last reported a couple of years ago. He got that ID by decoding the CW. Mick Delbridge in Alberta was also hearing it at 0315, extremely strong there, and it's later refined to 6959.8 at 0331, says Walt Salmaniv. Our previous reports of it were on November 25th of 2020. As Ron Howard reminds us, both then and now they're playing lots of Mexican music. And also heard now by Lucas Bandura in British Columbia. He says the signal is about 34 kilohertz wide, only slightly drifting. In the Arctic Radio Club, Sven Martinsen updates on his Norwegian stations as of February 4th. 1611, Radio Northern Star is back on AM on its old frequency, LLE4, 400 watts. This frequency was formerly called the C, S-E-A, only evening transmissions now, but it may be extended. On 5895, LLE3 came back, carrying a mix of Radio Northern Star and The C. Schedule for that is 559 to 1831 UT with engineering tests. No news yet of what will happen on 1314 kHz. That's a different station in Norway, I think. Walt Salmaniv in BC reports the Russian Anthem Loop on 9310 Upper Sideband. February 9th at 0655, it had been going for an hour. A vocal rendition of the old Soviet anthem repurposed by Putin for Russia. Mostly good reception, he says, and it may be located near St. Petersburg. Lukas Bandur, NBC, says this is a Russian military beacon on several frequencies, including 7700, 8001, 9041, 9310, 9900, 10200, and 10420 USB. Radio Exterior de España had been running on only three transmitters instead of four. For some time, the 11685 frequency for Africa was absent. But on Friday, February 3rd, during the English at 23, I found it was back on the air. Now the frequency missing was 12030, which is aimed at the Mideast. Same situation on February 4th, but on February 8th, all four frequencies were back on the air, merging for English at 2300. Monday, February 13th is World Radio Day, provoking some special broadcasts, such as from the Swedish DX Association, SDXF. This will be via Germany, Channel 292, 9670, starting at 10 UT and a repeat at 14. Also, the VLF 17.2 kHz SAQ Alexanderson alternator is to be fired up on World Radio Day with 200 kilowatts. It's scheduled to start up at 1330 UT with a peace message at 1400. And even earlier, there will be a live transmission via YouTube. Also, their ham station will be on the air between 9 and 16 UT on some special frequencies, SK6, SAQ. Three of them end in 17.2, that is 35, 17.2, 70, 17.2, and 14, 17.2. UNESCO has been doing a lot of promotion for World Radio Day, and the theme for it this year is Radio and Peace. John Jurasek in Florida and Harold Sellers in B.C. reported a new frequency for Voice of Turkey in Turkish, 9430, at 0510 UT, parallel to the usual frequency, 9700, on February 8th. Possibly this has something to do with the earthquake disaster, and as a matter of fact, Harold points out that 9430 is a frequency supposedly reserved for the International Radio for Disaster Relief, placeholding but hardly ever activated from the Vatican site. This new frequency was not known to the Turks at HFCC in Tunis. After 0700 February 9th, Ivo Ivanov says 9430 is parallel to 15350. Kai Ludwig says, here's some insight into what's going on at the BBC. It's from voice-online.co.uk, February 3rd, headline, Uproar over BBC Africa Show's axe. Shocked staff left fuming after boss says no questions at Zoom presentation sacking. The cuts are believed to save BBC 28.5 megapounds. The director of BBC World Service, Liliane Landor, gave a presentation to African staff where many learnt that their programmes would be axed for the first time and then said she would not take any questions. They really did not consult us on anything. The BEEB are slashing several services across BBC World, sources saying over 600 jobs would be lost, almost twice the official figure given by BBC, 382. A BBC source said that the right-wing government are moving away from engagement with the continent of Africa. In 2020, BBC Africa staff accused management of institutional racism, including being denied career development opportunities, being bullied, and then silenced by an ineffective complaints procedure. Mike Terry forwards an amateur radio newsline report of February 3rd that the FCC has finally put a piracy enforcement resource online, delayed because of funding. It's a database and map displaying pirate radio enforcement actions taken by the FCC as part of a response to the Pirate Act passed by Congress. It shows actions over the past 3 years, landlord notice letters, and $10,000 forfeiture associated with pirate operations. You can click on the map for the few states that are highlighted and then go on to read the details. I suspect, but have not confirmed, that all of these concern FM pirates and not shortwave. You can reach this indirectly by reading the Amateur Radio Newsline story from report number 2362 at arnnewsline.org. A tweet from ex-POA person Kim Elliott refers to a Washington Examiner story. RFERL are doing a good job reaching out to Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union. To replicate their success, VOA and other outlets need to downsize bureaucracy and increase news programming, quote-unquote. John Filiozzi replies in the World of Radio Group, I agree wholeheartedly. VOA is stuck on neutral for the most part. English language services are terrible, sound backward, and appear unfocused. Foreign language services I can hear seem a bit better organized, but I'm not equipped to judge their actual content. Stacked against similar services from other outlets, public or private, the VOA does need a major injection of reform and renovation. I am pleased to note that as of Saturday, February 4th, the 2230 broadcast of World of Radio on WRMI had been restored to 5850 as well as 15770. Sad news from Alan and Angela Wiener at WBCQ, sent on to us by Larry Wild. Dear beloved staff, it is with great sadness we hear of Tom Barna's passing. His fight is over. Tom will be missed by all. He was a dedicated radio man, a true genius with electronic art. Let's carry on the great free speech station Tom helped to build. No one is ever gone when we keep them in our hearts. I wondered if Tom Barna was the one who was electrocuted several weeks ago, as Alan never said who that was. Uncle Bill Tilford replies, nope, that was a different engineer. As for Tom, I never met him physically, but communicated with him enough to have developed a genuine respect for his diligence, dedication, and willingness to shoot straight, that last quality being especially valued in this business. Ivo Ivanov, Observer Bulgaria, reports on February 9th an upcoming frequency change of WRMI Legends on number 4 transmitter between 23 and 05 UT. 5050 is replacing 4980. However, I just checked on February 9th and they were still on 4980 after 23 UT. You may recall that 5050 was once the frequency of the now defunct WWRB. And further paving the way for this, if it's not a typo, Mark Taylor in Wisconsin, NASA flash sheet, reports a pirate on 5050 USB, February 5th at 0403, Mix Radio International with Eastern European music and an ID. On February 3rd at 0734, I was still hearing the second harmonic Radio Vanuatu on 7890. But since February 4th, it's been staying on 7260. After 0700, as Gary Pence has also noted, so no harmonics to be heard on 7890 or 11835. The propagation outlook from SWPC. Geomagnetic field expected to be unsettled. AN candidacies no higher than 10 and 3, February 22nd to 24th. Solar flux dropping from 160 February 10th to 125 by February 27th. But there is increased geomagnetic activity in response to multiple recurrent coronal hole high-speed streams. Thus concludes World of Radio 2177. With thanks to all our contributors and stations, I hope you found it informative and will make a point of hearing me again next week. Glenn Hauser with a standard disclaimer.